617-779-7937 is your phone number. It's Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here today. That was Jacoby Brissett talking to us on Monday. Usually he doesn't cut off questions like that. He doesn't Dietrich Wise us like that. But that was something that he was not willing to really even discuss. It's just, nope, never any doubt. I knew I was going to play.
Can I hear the question again? Like, he didn't know the question.
Was there any doubt after Drake May came into the game? Was there any doubt in your mind that you'd start? No.
Was that the second question? Had you already asked him if, like,
had I already asked him what?
I forget the interview how the order, but the question there is: was there any doubt after Drake May came into the game? No. You didn't ask him if he was going to start.
Drake May came into the game. Was there any doubt in your mind that you'd start? No.
I think before that I said Coach Mayo announced you as the starter when May came into the game. Was there any doubt? And I think he knew where I was going with it. I think that was the genesis of the question, I think. I'd have to go back and listen to it, but I think that's how I asked it.
He definitely was heading that off at the pass. He was making sure we weren't going down that road, and he didn't have a lot to say about it, just the no. And he should. That's fine. And I don't know whether it's a defensive mechanism or if it's out of leadership, like, no, we're not going down the quarterback controversy road just yet on my watch. I'm a captain of this team, and we're in week four, and I'm not going to let, you know, controversy sneak into that locker room and divide us, whatever. Or if it's just, what are you, an idiot? No. you know what I mean? Like,
may have been a little bit of that, sure. But, you know, and it's, listen, that's sort of what I was looking for. Whether he thought it was a dumb question or not, I wanted him to say, no, I don't have any doubt. Or, yes, I have some doubt. One or the other, I think, was...
Well, he was never going to say yes. I mean...
Well, no, I wasn't expecting that. But the way he says no, sometimes you can tell things by. And I just, you know, I figured I'd put that out there. Him saying that so quickly does reek, I think, of defensiveness. I do. And that's fine. He has every right to be defensive about it. It's his job and it's his livelihood. But there was a little bit of, you know, something with that before when they asked him after the game about getting taken out. He's like, well, what am I going to do? Argue with him? You know, am I going to argue with Mayo? And it's like, no, I don't think so. I mean, maybe you would. Sometimes players argue with their coaches and don't want to be taken out. You ever seen a manager come out to take a baseball player out of a pitcher out of a game and the pitcher starts barking at the guy? Like, you see that happen a lot. So, I don't know. I mean, he does seem protective of it in a way that, like, almost doesn't want to face the reality of the situation that he's in. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not saying he's delusional, but I do think that there is a sense of, you know, if I just don't talk about this, then it's not going to be a topic, right?
Well, I also think he realizes any start could be his last start, not just for this season, but forever in the NFL. Like, he's had a nice career. He might get more opportunities to back up. Maybe that leads to fill in, whatever. But, like, he's the starting quarterback to start a season in New England, and he's a captain. The next start is anyone could be the last, and I think that creates a certain probably pressure, especially in a world where I think a lot of people, and he's been around the league long enough with coaches, media, a lot of people subscribe to the theory, once you put Drake May in, you're not going to pull him out. If he gets hurt, that's something different, but you're not going to jerk these guys around and, oh, it's Drake May for 3 weeks, but he doesn't look great, so let's put Brissett back in for 3 weeks. So he probably knows, at whatever point it ends, it's Drake May's team, and where do I end? Because we talked about it yesterday. Jacoby Brissett, you can make an argument, is the worst starting quarterback in football, and it just is what it is. And so I think there's multi-layered reasons for why he would be defensive or quick to say no. The reality is it's getting close. It feels like it's getting close. We've had additional comments now about how good Drake May looks in practice, and he's unique in the way he's digesting things, and defensive coaches are so impressed with him. So that's adding to the cachet of everything we've heard. Gerard Mayo, he's good in practice. Alex Van Pelt, he's good in practice. We've watched him in preseason games. We've watched him in garbage time. The list of things we've seen him do well or heard he does well has grown. Now, I will say, one of our followers on Twitter was like, this feels a little convenient that all of a sudden all we hear is how good Drake May is in practice. There are those out there that believe this little onslaught of quotes and onslaught of coverage saying he's so great in practice doesn't exactly pass the sniff test. I don't know how you fall on that.
In the sense that it's now suddenly being reported because they're trying to soft launch him starting in a week. Is that what you mean?
Maybe that there's just an angle. Like, why all of a sudden why are we hearing so much about practice? We don't always hear about who's playing well in practice and who's doing what in practice. Why are we hearing about this now?
That's true. But there are more. There's more questions about Drake May than there are about any other player who's not starting. So, I mean, I think that's part of it too. There's not much you can say about him. He only played one series in the regular season, so you only can really talk about what he's done in practice. But I see what you're saying.
But you don't have to, and you certainly, as a defensive coach, the Wilkins guy, the outside linebackers, he doesn't need to be talking about Drake May, does he? Isn't that an easy one to be like, yeah, you know, I'm just worried about my position and my side of the ball. You know what I mean? I don't think that's necessarily a question you need to tell me. Well, he's unique. We've been talking about it. This kid seems like he's been around football for a long time. He knows a lot about schemes and quarterbacks, and it's like, oh, we're really fluffing it up. I'll be honest. I was skeptical in this way in the offseason before Patrick Mahomes took over as starter with the Chiefs because it was on a national level, not a local level, but the reports blew up. This guy might win the MVP. This guy might be offensive player of the year. You should have seen the things he was doing on the practice field to the Chiefs defense last year, blah, blah, blah. Like, and I was like, wow, really feels like we're laying it on really, really thick here. Yeah. Come to find out, it was probably true.
No, they were right. They're dead on about that for sure.
So I am generally skeptical of these things, but I think because I want him to play and because I want him to be a good player and because I think he is a good player, I'm probably more tending to listen to these and say, yeah, I hope it's true. I hope he really is lighting it up on the practice field and getting close to getting his ass out there.
Andrew Callahan over at the Boston Herald had an interesting piece yesterday, and it was, does Gerard Mayo want the Patriots to start Drake May? And he went on and on about quotes and various things that Mayo said over time. The biggest one, the most damning one probably being, I've decided that Jacoby Brissett's going to be the starting quarterback. That whole thing, like, that was the most damning one, where he corrected himself, like, in real time and went from we to I. But Callahan sort of talked about all that and then said this. So why isn't Mayo, who has claimed complete authority over the depth chart, starting May? He can't. Not yet, anyway. Not while the Patriots allow 10 QB hits per game, not while the O-line yields a league-worst pressure rate of 48.5, including 7 sacks last week, not while Brissett gets pummeled drive after drive, yet still hasn't turned the ball over once or failed in such a clear and obvious way he deserves to lose his job. Because after all, this was the plan. May designed with offensive coordinator, head coach of the offense, Alex Van Pelt, and Elliot Wolf, who both have input into the quarterback decision and long-term stakes in May's development. Step one. Use Brissett to reestablish the locker room culture. He became a team captain. Let's start right there with step one of Callahan's reasoning here. He was brought in to sort of reestablish the locker room culture. He is a team captain. He was also sort of brought in to be the fall guy a little bit, right? Like, he was brought in to be the bridge guy. He was brought in to be the one that sort of holds us over until the kid's ready. And locker room culture, like, is that the culture that this locker room's going to have? Like, they're a young team, obviously. He is a leader, but he's not brought in there to be the leader of the team. He's brought in there to be a temporary sort of Band-Aid until the actual leader of the team's ready to lead the team. Is that establishing the locker room culture?
I think that's a really interesting topic or question that Callahan brings up. It almost feels like that's a shot at Mac, right? Like, the culture got ruined by a bad quarterback situation.
Yeah, and Bill maybe too, yeah.
And Bill, or whatever. But, like, that situation surrounding Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi, the quarterback kind of devolved into a bad culture in the locker room. And we had heard whispers and, you know, people acknowledging about offense versus defense and not, I guess, finger-pointing and sort of the divide between the two sides and who was kind of carrying their fair share of the load and what the hell was going on. So that's all on Jacoby Brissett? Like, why can't it be on Drake May the same? Like, he's a different guy. He has a different personality, different experiences, different energy. Like, certainly we've all seen a different energy and style for him. If anything, there were complaints that he was too respectful and deferential during the summer, right? Like, he wasn't enough of a jackass and basically just telling everybody, this is my job, my team, I'm taking over kind of mentality, you know, that they had to kind of coddle him to do more of that. So, but I also think culture, like, I don't know that you can buy culture. There are culture guys good at culture, but if the players think Drake May is the better quarterback and the players agreed with Gerard Mayo, let's just say, the better quarterback in August and July was Drake May, are they like, but, you know, Jacoby's a good guy, he's a culture setter, so yeah, he should be the quarterback. Like, no, I think they're like, why isn't the best quarterback playing?
Yeah, so ask Pop Douglas about that. He doesn't care about the culture, he wants to get the ball.
Exactly. Well, And you know what creates culture is just things being appropriately done, whether it be on the field. Obviously, winning creates good culture. But
right.
just if it's a meritocracy and you're like, yeah, that guy should be the left tackle because he's not the best, but he's the best we have, right? And the best quarterback is that guy. Like a meritocracy to me breeds pretty good culture because everybody feels like, well, this is fair. Everything's being given a fair shot. Wasn't that the old days? It's not how you got here in New England. It's what you did once you got here. And they weren't mm-hmm. going to care if you were undrafted or the number one pick. It was BS a lot of times. Like Cole Strange was made a starter immediately. I don't know if he earned his starting job, but whatever.
True, yeah,
there was
right.
some BS nature to it. But I think the meritocracy aspect creates a culture more than, oh, that guy's a veteran who we pay $8 million, so his job is to fix the culture.
Yeah. Step two of Callahan, let Brissett navigate an opening schedule of brutal defenses and conniving defensive coordinators to keep the Patriots competitive. They have been. They're 1-2. They fall to 1-3 with two straight blowouts, and I don't know if we'll still be calling them competitive after that. And this is all still part of the plan and the path that they're on. And then there's step three, throw Brissett into a fire that might burn down the confidence of a young quarterback but feels familiar to a 9-year veteran. Wolf said to week one, the worst thing that could happen is you put a guy in before he's ready, and then you have to take him out. Is that the worst thing that could happen to Drake May? I mean, obviously, a season-ending injury would be worse than that. But in terms of on-the-field things that don't result in some catastrophe like that, is that the worst thing that could happen?
No, because I think you're finding out who you have as a starting quarterback and as a franchise quarterback. Like, I think you're, you know, learning his mettle and, you know, proving himself and you know, putting pelts on his wall, so to speak. It was a little bit like the Mac Jones thing. I always go back to, I think, DeMarcus Lawrence hit him for the Cowboys, lit him up, and all the linemen raved about it. Oh, my God, we just learned that our quarterback gets up, and he's a tough guy, and all these layers of, like, it's not ideal, and he could have broken his back for all we know, or, like, you know, something really bad could have happened, but there mm-hmm. was positive value overall in the experience, and I think the same would be true of this situation. So, yeah, I think some of that, there's some truth to that. We talked about it earlier. There's a stretch of more winnable, softer landing spots or soft openings for Drake May on the horizon. Like the Thursday night in New York and then a long trip to San Francisco the week later, that's not a great spot for a young quarterback. It just isn't.
It's a long layoff. I mean, it's the longest layoff you're going to have all year. You know, you're going to have 10 days. It's a tough team, and you have to go across the country. But, I mean, in terms of, like, time to prepare and get ready, it's the longest break you're going to have.
Yeah, but I don't know. Does it matter? I know they bitched about not having practice last week, but, you know, my key was 49ers are better on the field and under the headsets. They're just better than you. And that's the reality of that situation where I don't know against Miami who's better. And now Houston looks like they're better, but they're still a young team coming together. They're not as proven in terms of talent and consistency and coaching as the 49ers are. And, oh, by the way, it's home. You have back-to-back yeah. games at home. And then there's a stretch of Jaguar. Like, there's winnable games in there, or at least not get embarrassed, hopefully, kind of games. Even if we don't play well, it may not snowball for the negative. Whereas when you go against the Jets and the Niners on the road, both of those are snowball toward blowout possibilities, especially for a young quarterback who might add to that with mistakes and turnovers. So I think there's some truth to what Callahan said, just that he's a seat filler, he's helping with the culture, and he was a crash test dummy for the first month of the season.
Yeah, I'd agree with all of those things. And I think in terms of Drake May, I agree with you. Let me ask you this. If it was the Dolphins in Miami and the Niners at home, and you'd flip-flop the weeks, would you still want to wait for May and play at home and against the Niners, or would you rather he started on the road against the Dolphins?
That is a good question. I'd probably want it at home, and that's me just talking, not even taking into account Robert and Jonathan Kraft and business.
So you're taking the home field thing more to heart than the difference in the talent and the teams, obviously. I mean, the Dolphins
yeah.
are struggling right now with no quarterback, but like that's more important to you, a place where they were 1-7 last year.
Yeah, I don't... That would make me pause and say, well, do I want to wait just another week? Like, how do I handle this? You know, because they're waiting. The reality is they're waiting, right? Like,
yeah.
they've created this waiting feeling. And if you're willing to wait 1 week, are you willing to wait two? Are you willing to wait four? Are you willing? And that goes down the, you guys caught me sort of making a face during a current answer on the Twitch
yes.
Video yesterday. Best case
scenario.
Like,
it looked like you smelled something, like I cut one over there in the next seat.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was when I asked Kern, I said, what's the ideal plan? Like, when would you see Drake May if everything goes exactly how the Patriots want to? And he said you wouldn't see him this year. He wouldn't play this year. If things go exactly how they want, then Jacoby Brissett plays well enough to win 8 or 9 games, and he can sit on the bench the entire season. And if they had their way, if they had their druthers, that's the way it would go. And I didn't like, I mean, listen, it's not that I didn't like the scenario.
That's
I don't
literally
like that
the worst
scenario.
Case
exactly. Now. I mean, you're burning a whole year of Drake May there, which I don't think you need to do.
You don't know if he's good. You haven't seen him play. You wasted a year. You're right. He's gotten no experience. You are 9-8, so now you probably just missed the playoffs. You don't have a good draft pick, so you're not giving him another blue-chip player when he does hit the field next year. That's why I made that face, because he's calling it the best-case scenario. And then I'm adding in, like, entertainment value. Even if they win 9 games, we've seen them win with Jacoby Brissett in not great entertaining fashion. You know, like,
right.
It was fine because it was week one. It was a big road upset. You didn't expect it. But if you see those types of games for 17 straight weeks, I'm not
over
sure.
And over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think current scenario is literally the worst case scenario. And that's why I made the stinky face.
Yes. And it was a funny face. But I will say this. If you're 9-8, then that means you're competing. That means you're in the playoff hunt. Like, that means those games at the end of the season. You'll probably miss it, sure. But those games mattering at the end of the year is different from going into the last month of the season and you're 2-10 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's different. It brings more interest. There's more buzz. There's more.
So you'd rather
showing
that than
games.
Drake May?
I'm not saying I'd rather that. I'm saying maybe the Crafts would rather that. Maybe the Crafts would have preferred that, and that's why they're sort of along for the ride with this plan. I think so. I think they weren't expecting there to be a 9 or a meaningful games in the last month of the season. If that happens, they'd probably consider that a bonus. It's good for business. They didn't get that last year, so I wonder. I wonder about that. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, the Niners are banged up. So are the Patriots. Who is going to play on this offensive line and try and protect Jacoby Brissett? We'll discuss that next.